721, Illinois State Representative Patrick Windhorst is joining us. First off, Patrick, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you, Tom?
Good. All right. So some very important things were passed in this recent judicial reform bill. But I think before we go on, there was so much in there. There were some items of significance that were taken out. And from my point of view and talking with other people, personal use drugs, meth and heroin, and qualified indemnity are the two issues that I think are most important that, correct me, were removed from this piece of legislation.
That's correct. Last week we had started with committee hearings on the bill. There was a version of the bill that was much, much worse than what passed yesterday. And I think it was the work of that committee that had made what improvements we saw in the bill occur. One of the things you mentioned, qualified immunity, was pulled out of the bill. It's no longer in the bill. Actually, the thing in the bill that was there originally was a new form of cause of action against police officers on the statewide level. That's been pulled out. And then there was a conversation about adding defelonization of hard drugs. That was actually never made it into the bill. We saw versions of the bill that where it might be added, but it never made it into a filed copy.
As a former state's attorney, as a lawyer, what is your insight into this that gives you a reason for pause and the reason why you were on the floor challenging the sponsor on this legislation yesterday, and you did a heck of a job? I've talked to many other people who, by the way, said the same, that, you know, Patrick, really, well, you're probably the only person who's read it. You know, what do you see in this that you've read that says this is a problem from a state's attorney's position?
One of the biggest things is the overhaul of the pretrial criminal justice system, essentially eliminating cash bail. We've seen other large states, New York and California in particular, that have went in this direction. New York passed it, and they saw it was a disaster, and they moved away from it, and they've changed their system. California put it on the ballot for their voters in November of 2020, and their voters voted it down because they knew what types of problems it was going to have. The problem with the system, just so your listeners understand, right now if a person's arrested for almost all offenses, they're given a cash amount that they can pay to be released. This system essentially creates a you're in jail or you're out of jail pending trial, whatever the judge decides. But the problem is there's only certain offenses for which the judge can hold someone prior to trial. And offenses such as burglary, robbery, arson, kidnapping, those are not offenses for which a person can be held. Now, there are aggravated versions of those offenses for which they could, like aggravated robbery or armed robbery, that can be held, but standard robbery or non-residential burglary, a person could not be held under this version of the law. That leads me to believe that we will see an increase in crime in our areas. I mean, as Tom, I know you're aware, we have seen since the early 90s in our state and country a large decrease in the crime rate. It's dropped by 50% to 60%. That bottomed out about 2014-15. That's about the time we started seeing some of these criminal justice reforms or changes, not really reforms, they're just changes, come into effect, and then we've seen the crime rate slowly start to inch up.
Okay, I want to interrupt you here at this point. I was speaking with a local mayor on this cashless bail, and he says, for all intents and purposes, we have that system in place now because of COVID. He says, we had somebody, high-speed chase, multiple police departments involved. We finally got them down by our school and got them pulled over, but not before they'd rammed a police cruiser. And he says, this person was taken to the processed and let go. He says, this is what I envision as cashless bail. Is that a fair comparison?
Yes, that's a system that the sponsors of the bill want to put in place. That is what they want to see happen. There will be some things that are included that were added to the language of the bill that will allow for a person to be held a little longer than just arrested and released. But ultimately, there will be, within a day or two, a release of people who have committed forcible felonies, serious offenses.
Right.
And that's concerning to many people. The other thing that is done is we've created a new system for discipline of police officers that it's going to be problematic, I fear. For a person to be a police officer, they have to be certified by the state. That's been in place for many, many years. This has been extended now to a decertification procedure that goes beyond someone beyond an officer who commits a crime and needs to be decertified. There is what's created as a discretionary decertification system. The problem with this is that it isn't tightly defined, and it doesn't say whether how far you can go into someone's past to try to decertify them. It does not allow for someone who is decertified to ever be reinstated. And it also allows for both anonymous in the bill, allows for both anonymous and confidential complaints against police officers. Number one, those two things are in conflict, but if you allow for anonymous complaints, that's going to allow people to tie up the system, and so that cases in the criminal justice system aren't going to be able to move forward.
Right. I talked to several mayors that were troubled about that in particular, I noted. And I talked to a couple of police chiefs that were also said, look, and, you know, it's interesting because speaking with some law enforcement, they say, look, I'm all for training. I'm all for stopping gypsies, right, who get in trouble and then go to another department. All for it, right? Stop
right.
that. We need to track, just like we had a conversation like this many years ago when it comes to malpractice and doctors who move from place to place to place after doing some bad stuff. So I understand this. You know, one of the things that's come up this morning, and listeners texting me about it now, is talking about people with criminal records. One of the state representatives claiming that 55% of Illinoisans have a criminal record. Don't believe that. Been doing a couple of records, and I don't believe that. It may be 29.74% by FBI records is what I'm picking up. But they're saying, well, what do we do? Eliminate background checks? I'm an employer. I need to know I'm hiring somebody who's not a violent criminal. I need to know that if I'm hiring somebody to work at a nursing home, they're not a sex offender. Is this going to stop me from doing that?
And it wasn't in this bill, but there was another bill that is making it more difficult for employers to refuse to hire or fire individuals with criminal backgrounds. It established a multi-step process that is going to just make it more difficult for employers to remove people from positions where they need to be removed.
Right. So cashless bail, one of the issues here, tracking now, and other law enforcement agents who've reached out to me says, we're all in favor of better training. Great. And we don't use the chokehold anyway. We've been trained against that for the last 30 years anyway, unless, you know, you've been had your gun taken away and you're fighting for your life, in which case, you know, the Katie barred the door on that. So there were 700 pages. We've talked for just a few items. What else was in this 700 pages that required that much legislation?
Well, I could go through quite a few. They've changed the way the use of force standard is used in Illinois, and they've made it more stringent on officers to use force in arrests or in situations involving potential or in the use of lethal force, I should say. And there's now a multi-step criteria to be used. One of those things, an officer can only use lethal force if he reasonably believes that the person arrested cannot be apprehended at a later date. And as I pointed out to the sponsor, that creates a big problem because in smaller towns, you know, you could always argue you could reasonably arrest someone because you know who they are. Well, that doesn't work in Cook County or Chicago. So that's a standard that may be well-intentioned, but it's going to be difficult to put into practice and ultimately could put law enforcement officers in difficult situations when they're making life and death decisions.
All right, here's another one for you. Philosophical. We'll call this, there's a what was passed and there was a how it was passed, and I have problems with the latter.
Oh, yeah, the process. The bill was bad enough. The process was just as bad, if not worse, in how it occurred. So the bill, which was 700 to 800 pages, was filed at 4 a.m. Yesterday, the same day it was voted on. In 1 hour, it was voted on in the Senate. So the state Senate voted on it about 5 a.m. and barely passed it with two votes over the necessary line. And then it came to the House, and we voted on it first order of business yesterday. So we get to that point where we're talking about a 700 to 800 page bill, which I did have the opportunity to read and review. And then once the debate starts, I speak, question, and debate. And one other Republican is allowed to question and debate, and then they cut off debate and did not allow anyone else to speak on the bill. They essentially what they called the question, meaning we're calling the vote now. Again, there were many people on our side that wanted to speak to the issue. We have a police officer in our caucus who was wanting to speak to the bill, to address the issues in the bill. He was not allowed to do so. He's going to be our last speaker. We felt he should be the one to speak last to the bill. Was not allowed to do so, was cut off from speaking. Just egregious. And then, after they call the question, the vote occurs, and as the votes are going on the board, they're short. They're short by three or four votes. And eventually it's 58 votes. They need 60 to pass it. And they continue to hold it open and hold it open and hold it open, as long as I've seen a vote held open. And ultimately it gets to 60, and the moment the vote board hits 60, they close the voting, so no one can change from a yes to a no. Just, it was outrageous. I spoke with a member on our side who's been there for over 20 years. He said it's the worst thing he's seen in 20 years.
And not the only thing that was pretty challenging over the lame duck session. By the way, one of our listeners asked me, why do we put all of these things in a single bill? Shouldn't we be voting on some of these things separately? My understanding is there is a rule called the single cause rule. Do you think that violated that when you put this much into one little item, one big item, and push it across the in the manner in which you just described?
It's a single subject rule. The Supreme Court has interpreted that fairly loosely. So what the argument will be, if it's challenged on that rule, is that this all involves the criminal justice system. So just to include all criminal justice items will be probably sufficient to satisfy the single subject rule. But I agree, this bill was too large. There were too many things in it. And here's the problem. They merged essentially two large bills. One was about a 500-page bill. The other one was about a 200-page bill. They merged them. Well, when they merged them, they put in, each bill had definitions for words that were different. So now this law has conflicts in definitions, conflicts in such things as anonymous complaints versus confidential complaints, and it's going to create a problem in the court system for this law to be implemented. But in practice, it's going to create a problem for police officers in trying to abide by what the law requires, because there are things that are not clear or in conflict. Right. So that's why it's wise to go with smaller bills that people can read, understand, and make sure there are not unintended consequences.
Yeah, not everybody can sit down and read a James Clavell novel and vote on it in 45 minutes, which is basically, and correct. I think that's a pretty good comparison, to be honest with you. Yeah. I want to share with you the messages I'm seeing that are coming into the studio on You're in My Subject here, and then I'm going to have to let you go. You've got Ricky here, who is a prison guard, says, Tom, they just gave criminals a get-out-of-jail card. What's next? Close all the prisons. Here's another note that says, among hundreds of police officers that were listening and watching, thank Representative Windhorst for his rational, reasonable arguments and questions against the bill. It was noted. Now, here's another one that says, Tom, could you ask Representative Windhorst, what recourse do we have with all this and the lawlessness that this follows? And that's how I'd like to end today, Patrick, if you could address that question.
Well, there will be, on the two different things, the criminal justice reforms, there will be efforts by law enforcement and state's attorneys to look at the bill, how it can be implemented, and, you know, our police officers and the prosecutors who work in the state are sworn, but they're also dedicated to keeping the public safe. So there will be efforts made to make sure this, when this is implemented, it can be done in a way that keeps people safe. I, of course, have my concerns, but I also have faith in the people who work inside the criminal justice system to make sure the right thing is done. As it relates to things that are going to hamper police officers or lead to the work in the certification system, I believe there will be legal challenges in the courts. The courts have to weigh in on how the process will work, and we will see probably over the next year or two what you know, Tom, are called trailer bills, where the legislature comes in and fixes things that we see are issues and tries to solve the problems that we shouldn't have to solve because they should have been made right on the front end rather than the back end.